Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in chapter 21. And we'll be looking at verses 23 through 27 this morning. However, I don't believe for one moment that verse 27 is the end of Jesus' response to them concerning the question that these Pharisees, chief priests and elders, scribes, ask Jesus. Let's begin reading with verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered, and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. The first point that we want to make note of this morning is we find Jesus in the temple again. Jesus, after his processional into the city, the next morning on their way back into the city, he was hungry, and coming to a certain fig tree, which was barren, he cursed it and continued on to the temple where he cleansed it, driving out the buyers and sellers and money changers, teaching them, know ye not that my house, his house, the Lord's house, shall be called a house of prayer. Then the next morning, as they were on the way into the city, to the temple, Jesus gives instruction to the 12 who noticed how quickly the fig tree had dried up from the roots. And he gives them instructions concerning having faith in God. Then they continued straight to the temple, where we find him this morning, in the temple. One might ask, what is Jesus doing in the temple again? We find him upon entering into the city, going into the temple and looking around and observing what's going on in the temple. And we find him going back to Bethany, staying with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The next day, we find him going back into the city upon which he cursed the barren fig tree. And then we find him cleansing the temple. So once he goes in and observes what's going on, the second time he purges it of everything which did not belong. And the third time we find him in there in the temple teaching. We find Jesus in the house of prayer, the house of worship, teaching, preaching the gospel, which are all acceptable practices in the house of the Lord. We have illustrations in the Old Testament of particularly one comes to mind, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, going up to the temple to pray, to beseech the Lord for a child. She was barren. And the Lord heard her cry and heard her prayer and gave her Samuel. We find Jesus teaching and preaching in the temple. The book of Mark and the 11th chapter tells us, as Jesus is in the temple and as he was walking, these chief priests and scribes and elders came to him posing this question. As he's walking, it seems as though it was the customary practice, according to Jewish historians and writers, it was the customary practice for, as they were teaching, to be walking along as they were teaching and instructing and preaching one another. The book of Luke tells us that he was teaching in the 20th chapter, verse 1, that he was teaching and preaching the gospel. All which, note, are customary and acceptable practices in the temple, and so they are customary and practical applications to the house of God today, the church, the assembly of the Lord, praying, preaching, and teaching are acceptable things in the house of the Lord. They are that which you expect to find. Not as many of our so-called churches today and the goings on in them today, I don't think is pleasing. I don't think is acceptable with the Lord. And certainly not the merchandising which was going on, for which Jesus cast out of the temple, purged out of the temple, and made that statement concerning it being in the house of prayer. You see, in so doing, Jesus was even in this practice of teaching and preaching in the temple, in the house of the Lord, he was fulfilling Scripture concerning him. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 2. And look with me here at verse 3. It says, many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And he will teach us of his ways. That's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching and preaching. What was he teaching and preaching? He was teaching and preaching the gospel, which was concerning himself. So he was expounding to them from the Old Testament scriptures the things concerning himself, just as he did to the two men on the Emmaus Road in the book of Luke, chapter 24. and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this which was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, we see Christ fulfilling here in our text this morning. Thirdly, and this is the central theme of this passage of Scripture, and I believe possibly in some way the next three parables. For next week we'll be dealing with the first of three parables, and it seems as though each of the three parables mentioned hereafter are all in response to what we have in our text this morning. So we notice here, thirdly, the challenging of his authority. The title of our message today is The Questioning of Authority. Whose authority? They're challenging the authority of Jesus Christ. As soon as Jesus had cleansed the temple and began to teach, they sought to destroy him. They sought to kill him. They sought occasion against him. If you turn with me to the book of Mark and chapter Luke, book of Mark and chapter 11, in verse 18, we read it very right after the cleansing of the temple. We read, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it. That is, they heard about his cleansing the temple and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. You see, they saw a loss. They saw a loss coming. Loss of notoriety with the people. The people were putting their confidence in this one called Jesus. But in the book of Luke, and we find a similar thing in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verses 47 and 48, right after the cleansing of the temple, he said, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. In other words, they couldn't find any occasion to him. That sets the stage for what we have in our text this morning. And keep that in your mind. So we want to notice the assault that we have here in verse 23. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? By what authority and who gave it to you? You can just imagine, can't you? You have ridden into Jerusalem like a king. You have cursed a fig tree. You have expelled the buyers and sellers and money changers out of the temple. And upon doing that, you have caused a great financial loss to our pocketbooks. Now we want to know what authority you do these things. Who gave you that authority? Who commissioned you? Well, when you consider who these were, chief priests and elders, Matthew says, another one of the Mark or Luke, forget which one, tells us it was chief priests, scribes, and elders. And who accompanied the scribes? Generally, where you find the scribes, you find the Pharisees, and where you find the Pharisees, you find the scribes. So we can assume Pharisees were there as well. Well, one of their own had already testified of who he was. Knowing who he was. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus sat on the Sanhedrin. Well, Nicodemus was one of the chief priests and elders, scribes. In John chapter 3 and in verse 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What was Nicodemus saying? Nicodemus saying, the works that you do testify that you've come from God. We know that no man can do these things except he become from God. So even one of their own testified who he was. Well, Jesus had already authenticated himself by his miracles and his teachings, the works which he did. They proved who he was. Many had testified of that fact. Turn with me to a testimony of Jesus in the book of John. The book of John in chapter 5. To some of these same people. John chapter 5 and look with me at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You get the gist of what Jesus is saying here? It's not hard to understand. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel, that ye may stand amazed. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, notice this, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, make them alive, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Jesus is saying, the Father and the Son are the same. They're one. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, which hath sent him. There's the authority by which he doeth these things. He doeth these things by the authority of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He has authority because he is God. He is the Son of God, and he has the authority of God, was sent by God to do that which he does. That's what he was stating. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, a scripture that we studied many months ago. In chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus said there, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He giveth life to those whom he will. In other words, he reveals himself and the Father to those whom he will, he said. They came to him with this question as an outward show of their own power. They were prideful people. You can imagine how full of pride they were. Why, we are chief priests and elders. I've seen some pastors who exhibit that kind of superiority. No place for that in the office of pastor. No place for that in the pulpit. Just a man that God has sanctioned, that he's given authority to give forth his word, to lead and to instruct his people. But these chief priests and elders, scribes, Pharisees, they were all about an outward show. They were all about an outward show of their power. They were, after all, chief priests and elders. They were representatives and rulers of Israel. And that gave them authority. And this man, Jesus, we haven't given him any authority to do this. Who does he think he is? Coming in here treading on our ground. Taking our honor away from us. Well, this question was in order to trap him, that they might accuse him of blasphemy. That's what they were seeking. They were wanting him to say that he, as he said in John chapter 10, which seems to be maybe right about this time, just after this, on the heels of this question, and he gives that famous discourse in John chapter 10 about the good shepherd and the sheep and him giving his life, and his sheep know his voice and they follow him. I and my Father are one. That's what they were looking for. Him to say he was God. That his authority came from God and that he was God. And then they could accuse him of blasphemy. That's what they were seeking. Well, notice the wisdom of his answer. Verses 24 and 25. And I couldn't help but think a popular saying we have in our day and time. Jesus said here, he said, I also will ask you one thing. I also will ask, how many times have you been asked a question and then you answer that question with a question? And then you're told what? You never answer a question with a question. Well, can we take Jesus' example? I also will ask you one thing. Jesus is going to answer the question with a question. Oh, so we see his wisdom here. He did not give them a direct answer, but he responds with a question. If you will answer me my question, then I'll answer you your question. Listen, beloved, we are as sheep. We are as sheep in the midst of wolves. And as sheep in the midst of wolves, we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Was that not the instruction that Jesus had given to the 12 when he sent them forth in the book of Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 16? And so he says that to us today that are saved and members of his church. We're to be as sheep, and we are in the midst of wolves. So therefore, we have to be wise as serpents, but we're to be harmless as doves. We're to be like our Lord and Savior was, Jesus Christ. And he says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Did John have authority to preach and to baptize from God? Or was it from men? Well, if they answered this question, then it would answer theirs. We're told in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 41, at the conclusion of Jesus' discourse about the good shepherd and the sheep, and he and his father being one, and they trying to accuse him of blasphemy. And he said, my works prove who I am. And as he continued out of there and in his ministry, in John chapter 10, verse 41, it says, and many resorted unto him. They came unto him and said. Now notice, many came unto him, unto Jesus, and said, John did no miracle. All he did was come preaching repentance and baptizing. John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man, Jesus, were true. Were true. You see, the many still bear the impression of John's witness. John is dead and gone, but the witness of John was upon them. They bore it. What was the witness of John? In the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 29, John said, behold, the Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world. And many other things did John witness concerning Christ. And why did John witness those things? Well, you continue on down in that first chapter of John. And it was so that his followers might begin to follow the one whom he was forerunner of. Might follow the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John's witness of Christ was true. These many testified that what John witnessed concerning Jesus is true. They said, if they refused to answer, then Jesus would offer no further proof of his authority. Well, I want you to notice the trappers, the one who laid the trap, are caught in their own trap. They're caught in their own trap. Verses 25 and 26. They thought they had laid a snare to catch Jesus in, but they fell into their own trap. Is that not what we're told? They should have known that. That's in the book of Proverbs. That was in the Old Testament writings. They were to bend the authority on the scriptures in their day. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 27 says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Whosoever digs a pit to catch a man in, he's going to fall into that own pit.
You lay a trap for someone, you're likely to fall in your own trap. You seek to cast a stone upon someone, that's going to come back on you. That's scripture.
They reasoned among themselves, how are we going to get out of this one? You ever been in such a situation? You thought you were just so smart, so coy, so wise. Somebody turns it back on you. And you're thinking, oh, how am I going to get out of this one? Don't you imagine these chief priests and scribes and elders thought the same thing? They considered their own reputation. We have a reputation to maintain. I mean, if we say that he was sent from heaven, John was sent from heaven, well then Jesus is going to say, how come you didn't believe him? How come you didn't submit to his baptism? Which baptism was a proof of their belief. Book of Matthew, chapter 3. All those Pharisees that came out to him, to his baptism, because all the multitudes were repenting of their sins and confessing their sins and being baptized. And well, we want to be baptized too. John said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You weren't here to the preaching. You didn't hear the preaching of repentance. You haven't submitted to repentance. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, suitable of repentance. See, they didn't believe, didn't submit to John's baptism. Well, would know that they weren't believers and hadn't submitted to the baptism of John. And they had a reputation to uphold as the leaders of Israel. Well, also they considered their own safety. They said, well, if we say he's a man, well, all the people believe John. They believe John. We just read it to you in John chapter 10 and verse 41. All things that John spake of this man were true. We fear the people. They'll take up stones to stone us. That's what is said in Mark or Luke, which is the thought that was here in Matthew. He just didn't state it as plainly. And, of course, you understand where these chief priests and elders and scribes and Pharisees were come from. They sought the praise of the people. That's what they were about. I mean, why did they toot their horn when they're giving their alms? Why did they stand on the street corners when they pray and pray big, long, and elaborate prayers for men to hear? Because they were all about show. They wanted the praise of the people. Why did they make such an open display of fasting? It was all for the praise of men. Well, they feared the people, that the people would stone them if they said it was of men, because all men, all of them counted him as a prophet. What did that mean? Counted him as a prophet. Meant he's come from God. He had the word of God. He had authority from God. Listen. Do you believe? Or do you fear the people? Both are traits of the chief priests and elders, the scribes and the Pharisees. Unbelief and fear of the people are traits of them. Jesus told his 12 in the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 25, we read, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." You see, they were trying to lay the snare for Jesus, but they feared the people, which brought a snare unto them. "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Am I trusting in the Lord today? Are you trusting in the Lord? Well, after their confab amongst themselves, they give Jesus their reply in verse 27. "We cannot tell." We can't tell. We won't tell. We don't know. Literally what that phrase means. We don't know. Well, they were speaking the truth, weren't they? They didn't know. You see, they were in a dilemma and chose to suffer the reproach of ignorance rather than admit to unbelief and fear. They pretended to be leaders of the people, but were duty bound to take judicial knowledge. They were to take judicial knowledge of just such things. They were to know, but they didn't. We might say this morning, they were blinded. Why were they? They were blinded because of their hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of their envy. Because of their own pride. Because they answered this way, Jesus said, "Therefore, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." They had the witness of the people. They had the witness of Jesus' own teaching and preaching, the witness of the works which he did. Jesus said, "The works that I do, if they be of the Father, they testify of me. They testify of my authority. They testify of my power." But they were in unbelief, and therefore could not confess Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, come down from heaven to save, to relieve sinners of the condemnation of their sin. All that was Jesus taught to Nicodemus, one of their number, in the book of John, chapter 3. He taught that to Nicodemus there. Men in such a disposition cannot be convinced of the truth. Look at John chapter 3, the words of Jesus. In verse 18, his words to Nicodemus were, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world," which Jesus Christ did come into the world. He was the light of the world. He was the light of life. "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They loved their deeds. They loved their works. They loved who they were. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated him with a man. They sought numerous times to take him and to destroy him. And even on this occasion, if they could get him to blaspheme, saying that he was the Son of God, that he was God, it'd be blasphemy against God, and all the people would turn against him. But it wasn't yet his time. His time was close, but it wasn't yet his time. And so, I believe right on the heels of this is John chapter 10. And then they had him. They had blasphemy against God, and we find the people turned against him. You see, men in such a disposition as this cannot be convinced of the truth. And of course, that is apart from the working power of God. We're told in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you have he quickened." Who? God. In chapter 2, in chapter 1, the same mighty power of God which raised Christ from the dead is the same mighty power which makes men alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And so Jesus said in the book of John chapter 6 and in verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are spirit and they are life. They are the power of God unto salvation by His Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Christ, the Son of God, came according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 to seek and to save that which was lost. I ask you this morning, do you believe? Have you repented of your sins? And do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we stand?